Muskogee County Board will reconvene, and we will come back to item 8B. County Clerk, good morning.
Good morning, Laura Bynum, County Clerk, Register of Voters. I'm here before you this morning to have the board approve a contract with redistricting partners to provide consultant services related to the 2020 redistricting project. On the phone, I don't know if he's still on the line or not, should be Chris Chaffee with redistricting partners in the event the board had any questions in regards to the contract. But the latest news that I have heard is that the census data is anticipated to be released on September 30th of this year. There is talk that perhaps it could go to the legacy format, which could shave anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks off of that September 30th deadline. So we're still quite a ways out from getting that census data, but once we get that census data, that's when the map drawing will begin. But we'll have to have a few public hearings before that process, so anticipate a public hearing here in the next month or two as one of the first of 5 public hearings regarding this process.
How do you have the public meeting without knowing where we're headed?
So the in the scope of services, it had an outline of 5 public hearings, and it included what information would be at each one of those public hearings. So the first one is just kind of information about the redistricting process to let the public know, hey, this is the redistricting is coming up, this is how you can be involved, and this is the steps that you need to take. Then the second public hearing is a repeat of that again, reaching out to the public, letting them know about this process. Your third public hearing is a presentation of the maps for new potential district boundaries. So then you move on to the fourth public hearing, which would have any revised maps, if any, for proposed district boundaries. And then your fifth public hearing is to adopt that final map. And then my understanding is that it needs an ordinance, so an ordinance would need to be adopted, and that ordinance needs to have 30 days in effect, or 30 days to become effective. So we have to have this all done by December 15th, I believe, to have it in place for the June primary.
By December 15th?
By December 15th.
And that's if everything goes well?
If everything goes well. There are some avenues that where time can be shaved off if time is of the essence, but December 15th is our target date to have this all done by.
And the contract, we've already approved the contract, correct?
No, today is to approve the contract, yes.
So is the, what's the background for this outfit and why them?
So Chris, I don't know if Chris is on the line, but I can go into detail as to why I've selected them. I reached out to 2 different vendors and redistricting partners. You know, they had an excellent scope of services that was very detailed in the services that they would provide. They're very aware of the legal ramifications if certain steps are missed. They also are able to provide web design. So part of this process is that we have to have a website that we maintain for 10 years after it's approved as an archive. And they're able to do that versus in-house with IT. You know, so that's why I kind of went more with this, is that they've been through this before, you know, with the Fair Maps Act, which is new to our county. You know, so they're real familiar with the Fair Maps Act and the different requirements that are in place for this round of redistricting.
And they're nonpartisan? I mean, our culture is such right now where it seems that there's, you know, a huge diversity out there of positions, and I guess I'm looking for, I would prefer someone coming in that's neutral and fair and just looking at the picture versus tweaking it.
Yes, in speaking with them, they're just going to be looking at the census data and the numbers, the input from the community, because we now have to go into the communities of interest and really consider their input as well. And I don't see that as an issue with redistricting partners. Napa County, I know, is going to be using them. And there's a handful of other counties. I think Shasta might be also looking towards redistricting partners, but there are a few other counties that have already chose redistricting.
And for just clarification, because I've been asked, redistricting applies to the population in the census, not registered voters?
Correct. It's population-driven, yes. Not registered
right.
voters.
Got it. Thank you. And that means resident, not is it somebody just coming through, or is it an actual resident?
My understanding of the census is that it's based on where you reside.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Yeah, the only question I have, I'm catching myself on this because I know that you want to include the outlying areas, but too late for some salmon. Most likely won't be switching districts anyways. But
must move to another county.
Yeah. But in regards to COVID and those sorts of things, I know that with Sigma, they did the meetings on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so it involved community input. Is that going to be done there? I just know with in person, if we do get raised here, it could cause a hiccup in what you're doing. So the last time
I was before the board was to decide if the board wanted the board to kind of take the lead or to have a commission form to take the lead on this. Yeah. And so the board chose to keep it before the board, which is going to allow us to have it before the board of supervisors with Zoom capabilities. So
right.
It'll be just like it is now. Forks of Salmon, Tule Lake, Doris, Happy Camp, they can all dial in versus coming in person to participate. With the web design as well, there's I forget the name of the software, but the members of the community can look at the census data and then use that software and draw their proposed district boundaries as well. So they don't have to necessarily participate at the board level. They can do this 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night kind of thing, and then submit those maps for comment. Lots of public opportunity this district go around, or redistrict go around.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll stop.
You know, I went through this 10 years ago. Supervisor Costa, if you recall, was much ado about nothing. The lines barely moved. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some people, but it didn't come, you know, the public participation, I want to see that, but it's not going to affect the vast majority of people in this town.
Yeah,
it affects people in a high growth area, you know, where there's a lot of population shift. So, I mean, I suppose potentially we can have some of that. Think out there where the marijuana grows are going, but.
Well, and this census is no like no other. You know, it was conducted during a pandemic, mm-hmm. and you know, just from my personal experience, you know, because I have a vacation home, whereas the last 10 years ago, I had 3 notices. I had someone show up personally while we were there. This go round, no notices, no phone calls, no interaction whatsoever. So it will be interesting to see how the pandemic and the lack of the ability for the census workers to actually go out and to conduct that mm-hmm. will affect the numbers, so, if at all.
My sense is I'm losing population in my district. And I sure don't need more territory.
You'll get more.
Any surprises you may be aware of? I don't know if you've seen anything yet yourself.
I have not seen any of the census data. Again, that's not going to be released until late September. I can just go off.
I thought
of
maybe
what,
you were on the inside track.
Unfortunately, I'm not. I can just go off of what I've seen voter registration. You know, definitely out in the Mount Shasta Vista, KRCE, that number of registered voters, not residents, has gone up. It will be. I'm excited to see it as probably as you are.
Will there be representative from the vendor here during the hearing?
Yes, they will either be in person or via Zoom.
And will they have maps, visible maps here, or will they be up on the screen? How will that work?
My understanding is that they'll be, you know, like a slideshow presentation like we did earlier today, you know, that it's available for the board and the public to see. It'll also be in the board packets as well, which is available, you know, the 72 hours before the board meeting. So.
Okay, I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
We do need a motion.
I need a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. You almost got out of here.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Reed, I think this is your topic. Memorandum of understanding with the RRC on the roads.
Yes, good morning. Natalie Reed, Assistant County Counsel. And today, staff is bringing forward a proposed memorandum of understanding between the county and the Klamath River Renewal Corporation regarding measures the corporation would take to mitigate for impacts to county roads, bridges, and traffic that may occur for from the Klamath Dam Removal Project if it's approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission over the county's opposition. The county has been engaged as an intervener in the proceedings that Pacific Core and KRC first initiated in 2016 before FERC for transfer of Pacific Core's hydroelectric license to KRC for its surrender and the removal of four dams on the Klamath River, three of which lie in Siskiyou County. And the MOU that is before you today was prepared by KRC and the county's respective staff members with the understanding that the county continues to oppose Pacific Core's pending license transfer and surrender applications. And it aims to serve to mitigate harms to the county's road system and to reimburse the county for certain staff costs if FERC approves the dam removal project over the county's objection. The Director of Public Works, Scott Waite, Project Coordinator Elizabeth Nielsen, and myself have all worked with outside counsel Paul Weiland at Nossaman LLP to negotiate with KRC's team in the context of the county and KRC's unresolved dispute over the extent of the county's regulatory authority. So the MOU contains a set of recommended terms and conditions for FERC to adopt as part of its final order. Those conditions are set forth in Exhibit A, Sections 1 through 11 of the MOU. And the centerpiece of the mitigation for roadways is a preemptive roadway repair plan. And under that plan, prior to commencing work involving heavy loading, KRC would undertake repairs and apply asphalt overlay to Copco Road as described in Table 1 of Exhibit A. And the estimated value of that work is $2.2 million. And at the same time, KRC will provide the county with $810,000 to undertake repairs to and to apply a single chip seal to Copco Road, Ager Road, and Ager-Beswick Road as described in Table 1. The funding that KRC would be providing would be for project impacts, and thus it has to be used on the specific roads identified in the MOU. The proposed, and following this preemptive roadway work, the county would be responsible for maintenance of the roads in a good and serviceable condition subject to the availability of funding. The proposed terms also provide for temporary bridge improvements and to increase capacity at the Copco Road bridges at Fall Creek and Dry Creek if necessary. It provides for traffic control and notice requirements to ensure that temporary 48-hour and 72-hour road closures that are necessary to set up or remove temporary bridges occur before May 1st of each calendar year and do not occur within 2 weeks advance notice to the county, without 2 weeks advance notice, and to the county, to residential traffic, and to emergency services. KRC also commits through this MOU to apply for and comply with a county oversized heavy load permit, including the indemnity and hold harmless provision that was used with Pacific Core in years past when it required such a permit. The recommended terms also establish a process for post-project review of the designated roads to determine if a supplemental mitigation plan is needed to mitigate for any significant damage. Additionally, the recommended terms also provide for reimbursement of county costs for its staff time in engaging in inspections and reviews in connection with road work and the heavy haul permit. And with that, staff, myself, and Elizabeth Nielsen are here to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions from the board?
I think you need to identify the letter from the Natural Resources Secretary.
And I'll need that for the packet if we've got one floating
yes.
around.
And through the chair.
Yeah.
For the record, this letter was received while the board was in session. It was distributed to the board and simultaneously made available to the public, and is also available online through the Zoom meeting.
And through this letter, the state of California is acknowledging the MOU and expressing its support for the terms and conditions and for FERC to adopt those terms and conditions.
So I appreciate the work behind the scenes to get this letter. It means a lot to me from the standpoint of making sure the state's in that this, not just KRRC. And thank you for your hard work on this. It's been difficult, I know, because we've had a lot of debate over this, but I think it finally got to the point where it protects both citizens and the county from damage should this action take place. No other comments. I'm looking.
So I just one quick comment, and I think without this, should the dam removal occur, the county has nothing to protect, you know, the roads and what effect could happen from that. So I think this is, as Supervisor Martin said, at least a measure of protection for our citizens.
Yeah, it leaves us with a tremendous financial liability. That said, I need to have a motion to adopt.
Move to approve.
And that's the recommended motion, correct? Yep. Thank you.
Second. Okay, and would the motion maker in the second have this letter essentially attached with the MOU or accepted?
Sure.
Is that?
I mean, this just came.
I understand, but I mean, just so that we formally acknowledge it, is that permissible?
Yes, I believe we also have on the phone Dave Muir and Richard Roos Collins if they're aware of whether the state had intended to file this letter with FERC. That might be helpful to know.
Dave and Mr. Collins, did you hear that question? If so, press star 9.
Richard.
All right, good morning.
Battery 100%.
Richard Collins, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But I'm sorry, I could not hear Ms. Reed's question to me.
I'll ask
so if you could repeat it.
So the board was inquiring about attaching Mr. Crawfoot's letter in support of the MOU to the MOU, and I thought it might be useful to know whether you had any information about whether the state would be filing this letter with FERC or taking any other actions to make FERC aware of its support.
Ms. Reed, I am not aware of the state's intention for filing. That said, this is a public letter, and it would be the Renewal Corporation's intention to file it along with whatever action this board takes.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll include it with our adoption.
Sure.
Okay, ready? Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Recess the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors convened at the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Item 9A, public comment. Is there any public comment for the Flood Control and Water Conservation District? If so, please raise your hand. Star 9 on your cell phone.
Seeing none,
moving on to minute approval, items B and C, March 2nd and 16th.
No corrections that I've heard.
So to approve.
I have a a motion from Supervisor Chris and a second from, Director Valenzuela.
Thank
Director
you. Chris. I missed both. Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Haupt.
Aye. All right. And adjourn the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as the County Service Area 3. Any public comment for Service Area 3? Press star 9 on your cell phone.
Not online.
Seeing none, minute approval March 16th.
Heard no corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion by Director Cobsev and a second by Director Chris.
Okay. Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Adjourned as County Service Area 3. We convene as County Service Area 4. Public comment for Area 4.
Press star 9. Seeing none.
None seen. Minute approval March 2nd.
Again, no changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Haupt.
Aye. Adjourn as County Service Area 4. Convene as County Service Area 5. Public comment for Service Area 5. Star 9 on your cell phone.
Seeing none.
Seeing none. Minute approval March 16.
No corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
Haupt and Chris.
Ogren. My left ear is stronger than my right.
That's okay. Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobsa.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Help.
Aye.
Thank you.
Adjourn as County Surface Area 5. Reconvene as Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and appointments. Item 13A.
Actually, I have both appointments here are for the Behavioral Health Services Board. They're broken out because three of them are scheduled vacancies with terms ending December 31st, 2023, and the others are unscheduled for a term ending December 31st, 2022, and an alternate member with an unscheduled vacancy for December 31st, 2021. We did our normal appointment. I actually reposted these. Some of these vacancies had been posted, but I reposted them again. They're all lumped together now. The Behavioral Health Services Board has a significant number of vacancies. They're working, I guess, to try to get people involved. I did hear, but I have not been back to my office, so I haven't seen my emails yet, that there may be a letter of interest for one of the positions, but I don't have anybody else in line for this right now, so if we could continue both of these until I can bring those back before you.
So.
Thank you much.
Do you have a date? Or is...
If I may be able to bring them back on the 4th, May 4th. If not, it may be the 18th. But it will be hopefully shortly.
Okay. I'll leave it up to you to schedule.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Item 14, A, B, C, and D, minute approval.
And I've heard no other corrections for either of those as well.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela,
yep.
Supervisor Ogren,
aye.
And Supervisor Helft.
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm going to move down board and staff reports, if there are any. Do you have anything to report?
I'll just report quickly on the Assemblywoman Valley tour on the illegal grove stuff in the Mount Shasta Vista area. Was from about 10 to 4 on last Friday. Senator Feinstein also had a staff member of that, as well as county staff. Supervisor Haupt and myself attended to see the impacts to that area and what was going on. So the National Guard was there. We did a flyover for those that were approved to fly over and also provided information on how they might be helpful to us in the future. So overall, it was a good tour.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to participate. And I think those who ended up participating from outside the county were kind of like a shock and awe thing for them. I'm still waiting for reciprocation from the asks that we did on the ground. I haven't had any yet, but it's still early. And regarding the previous topic with the water board, I'm being informed that the cultivators are actually enrolling in the water board waste discharge program, stating they have cultivation sites. So, there you go. Anything else from anybody? Have you got anything?
Sure. Last Thursday, met down up here in Wairika with LTC regarding with Caltrans, who were heavily there, a lot of people there, regarding a roadway issue, so to speak. But I made contact with a lady that pretty high up who put me in contact with the person that's in charge of District 2's vegetation management. So, you know, it's kind of like Caltrans, how big of that is. And actually, it's a learning experience because there's, you know, things look like, why can't you do something? Well, there's always rationale why they can or can't do something. Anyways, good conversation. There are projects in queue that are going to happen. You know, I have more than a month past have transitioned from COVID to fire. Drought is good, is obviously a big issue. There is a CCC crew working down in Dunsmuir as we speak, doing some along the Caltrans right away. You know, I think, I'm surprised we hadn't, Jason hasn't mentioned it, but our green waste program is coming up 2 weeks, $5 pickup load. And, you know, I think collectively, if we're all doing our part, including our road department, who last year did a lot of thinning along our road right away, because as you know, Supervisor Haft, it's not a matter of if but when type thing. So that was a good in-person meet directly as a resolve coming up. I'll let Ms. Ogren talk about the traffic piece to that equation. I am heading down to Sacramento right after this meeting as we speak. I have some meetings set up, one of the executive board meeting. One of the things that we'll be talking to is sending to the new Senator Padilla. So there's, you know, a lot of opportunities down there. And I'll leave it at that. I'll give you a report when I get back. Okay.
Along with Supervisor Valenzuela and a whole lot of Caltrans people, we spoke about the Highway 3 project through Wairika that will be happening, not right now, but soon. That is a very huge project. Still a lot of things in the works on that, but it will impact all of Wairika. Traffic patterns are going to change. Things will look a little different moving forward, and we will never see another project like this in our lifetimes. It's that big. But we're encouraged. Things are moving in the right direction, I think, as far as how the city will be impacted and how our traffic will be impacted. And pedestrians won't be impacted, hopefully. That's the goal. Also had a chance, as you heard, to volunteer at the COVID vaccine clinic last Thursday. Had a chance to help out with the Woodruff family fundraiser that's going on with coordination with Del Norte County, which is a pretty cool project. That's ongoing. And a few other little projects here and there. So it's been a busy few weeks for me.
Thank you for your work with
sure.
My family, too.
You bet.
President Chris.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For Montague, they've been working on a resiliency plan, similar to what they did with Weed. It's proceeding along very well. It's going to be a platform being used to acquire grants and funding for future projects. One thing we do brag upon is the Murphy County did on the water back in 2014. Unfortunately, we'll be facing that again this year with water permits for pumping out of the Dwight Nolan Reservoir out of the pump, long story short. My colleagues may know this. The Two Lake Irrigation District is going to receive, I missed my last Montague Resiliency meeting because of the Two Lake Irrigation District special meeting. They're going to receive nothing to nil water from the Klamath Lake this year. So OES and those folks are involved. The whole Klamath projects can hit very hard. So that's, we're back to 2001 scenario there. For Butte Valley, we're working with the Forest Service on juniper tree removal for the Butte Creek area. And Butte Creek does flow into the valley. It's not really irrigated out of majorly, but it does have some benefit for groundwater recharge. So we're working with the Forest Service, Blue Forest, and those sort of partners. For McLeod, I reported on this last time. It's going to come back before the McLeod Service District, I believe. But the Community Service District voted 3-2 to not sign up the ZIB agreement with the McLeod ZIB for fire coverage. They didn't sign that. So it's being discussed with the community there if you need to get feedback on it. But I think it's going to be coming back and revisited. There's just some board members had concern about coverage from the McLeod Service District, and then other community members would like to have that contract to combine the services together. It's basically like combining two fire departments together for efficiencies. But naturally, the service district does have its legitimate concerns, and so they're just want to air those out, and we'll see how that goes. But that's a big issue down there for Amador coverage, winter coverage down there.
Anything else? I have a couple things. One, if anybody has interest in coming over to Scott Valley, they've gone a little trip to show you the Patterson Creek fuel break. Amazing to me. And Ed, if you're interested, taking some of the most hazardous fuels surrounding a small development community in Scott Valley. It's very explosive fuels, and turning it into pretty much a pristine-looking fuel break, the shaded fuel break that looks gorgeous. You know, give a couple more years for all the masticated brush and everything to settle in, and you know, it's really, really a nice piece of work. It's being done by Jefferson Resources, Daniel Lindler's group. Same ones working on Lake Siskiyou as part of a CCI grant. So,
was there any public backlash on that project at all?
No.
Just curious.
No. No. And it's actually, it was championed and backed by the Scott River Watershed Council in Scott Valley.
If I could interrupt you real quick, because sure. Something that just calls to mind, you know, the governor signed the big fire.
Yeah.
And you had a meeting, didn't you have a meeting with the whole fire? I thought you mentioned that.
Not recently.
Okay. Anyways, long story short, I think there's going to be more money for this kind of project, so I hope we're going to be on the forefront of getting some of that money.
And Elizabeth is working on that, I believe. Elizabeth Nielsen is working on a grant proposal. For our agreement to work across county lines in the county between private and federal entities to do more shaded fuel break work. It was something that we had $2 million in. We were going to use the stewardship authority to implement that, but the governor pulled the funding on that last minute from us in September of last year. So that'll be back up on the docket again. Regarding that, I may be coming back to you pretty soon as soon as I get to review Congressman LaMalfa's proposed a forest resiliency bill in the Congress to address public lands and the hazardous conditions on public lands. As soon as I get a chance to review that, I'll talk with you a little bit on that. That'll letter of support. Speak up.
I was going to say, we have a public comment tomorrow.
We do. On which? On staff reports?
Mm-hmm. It just popped up, yes.
Okay.
He doesn't seem to be connected through audio, though. So, just I guess. Just talk
about. Is this Eric?
I just do the
good morning.
Todd is named.
Okay.
Mr. Olson, if you could please connect to audio if you would like to make a comment. If you're also connected through your telephone, you can press star 9.
Okay, moving right along. Ms. Davis and I met with Trinity County Supervisor over a road issue in Trinity County that leads into a small piece of road that we have that's really geographically isolated. In short, it's about a 3-hour drive from the nearest county road department to maintain our piece at the end of this road over in Coffee Creek, actually. I don't know whether that's going to be coming back to the board, but just a heads up, we could be coming back with some kind of an MOU, depending on Scott Waite's work on that. One other thing, Sunday morning I got a call from Mr. Dean back there, and I told him I was disappointed he wasn't inviting me to church Sunday morning, but he was calling me with septic rupture, not septic, but a sewer line rupture, the main line, the mouth of Indian Creek that was ruptured and dumping sewage into the Clowns River. Not sure the extent of the total fill at this point, but it was remedied pretty quick, within a number of hours. Had to turn off the city's water supply in the process and put some kind of a band-aid patch on that. I just bring it up just to thank Rick and his group for the timely work down there and getting right on it. That man doesn't sleep. Anybody, anybody doesn't come in contact with Rick, and I appreciate the work.
Well, let me just put in a plug. This guy is also doing our code enforcement.
He's
working above and beyond.
He was out there with a tablet on Friday. Yeah. With us.
Thank you, Rick. I know you're putting a lot of time on it.
Yeah. With that, I think we're done in open session, and we're going to go to closed.